بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussions on the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed, or from the book of Tawheed. And we have reached chapter 21. And the chapter title, and the heading of the title is باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يصيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. Chapter: exaggeration in the graves of the righteous persons tends them to become idols worshipped besides Allah. This chapter is related to the chapter that came before regarding the exaggeration in the graves of the righteous, leading its people to worship these graves or the occupants of these graves. And we learned that exaggeration or is the exceeding of the limit, either in praise or dispraise. And here it refers to the praising, excessiveness or exaggeration in praising these graves of the righteous. And now we know, therefore, why the author put this chapter following the previous one. Now, graves has two rights upon us. The rights of the graves upon us are two. First, that we should not be negligent concerning what's dutiful towards them in terms of respect. So therefore, it is not permissible to insult or disgrace in any manner the graves, nor to sit on them, and so forth. The second, that we should not exceed the limit concerning them. Don't exaggerate concerning them. We learned in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the saying of Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, when he mentioned to one of the companions by name, his name was Abil Hayyaj al-Asadi, he said, أَلَا أَبْعَثُكَ عَلَى مَا بَعَثَنِي عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Shouldn't I send you on the same mission as Allah's messenger has sent me? And then he told him what was the mission. أَلَّا تَدَعَ تِمْثَالًا إِلَّا طَمَسْتَهُ. That you should not, don't leave an image or idol without obliterating it, or a high grave without leveling it. And this narration has been reported in another way, saying don't leave a picture without obliterating it. Now, with respect to the high grave is distinguished, as you know, will be distinguished if it is high in level from the rest of the graves. So, therefore, they should be, the command is to make them on the same level, lest some people think that the occupant of this particular grave has a certain particularity, even after some time, you know, after his burial, because this will be a means, towards exaggerating in the grave occupant. Is that understood? You understand the wisdom behind leveling the graves, the height of the graves? Yes. طيب. And this matter is applicable whether the grave is a grave of a prophet, a grave of righteous, a grave or any other person. Yeah. Then the author, may Allah's mercy be upon him, related a narration from Imam Malik in his book Al-Muwatta, the collection of hadith which Imam Malik collected. His book is called Al-Muwatta, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O Allah, don't let my grave become an idol that is worshipped. Allah's wrath is immense against those people who turn the graves of their prophets into places of worship. Now, in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this invocation, Allahumma, O Allah, la taj'al qabri, don't make my grave become wathanan, wathan, wathan, wathanan yu'bad. And what is a wathan? Is anything that is idol erected for worship. And it may be said that it is also sanam. But the sanam is a fashioned idol of a particular kind. A fashioned idol of a particular kind. So therefore, the idol is more comprehensive than the sanam. The wathan idol is more comprehensive than the sanam. So, even if the thing is not erected, everything that is worshipped besides Allah is called an idol. Why? Because graves may not have an idol erected on them. Yes. Wathan. Okay, this is wathan. This is idol. Okay, more general than sanam. Any sanam is a fashion idol of a particular type. And that's why the wathan is more general than the sanam. Clear now? Is that clear? Let's have a refreshing one. So these idols, these things are not to be worshipped besides Allah. Why? Because what's obligated upon the individual is to worship Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know from the authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith al-Qudsi, the Qudsi narration, that Allah says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءَ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. I am the one who does not stand to have a partner. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. Whoever does something for me and for other than me, meaning associating others, then I will leave him and whom he took as a partner with me. Now in this narration, in Imam Malik's Muwatta, this is a famous book, and it is one of the most authentic books. Because he, Imam Malik rahimahullah, was keen to check the authenticity of the narration and the degree of the authenticity of the chain of narrators is higher than that of Al-Bukhari. Why? Because of his nearness to the messenger, closeness to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, time. And then the higher the level of the chain of narrators, that is more closer to authenticity. And it contains, in addition to the narrations, the prophetic narrations, it has also reports from the companions. And also included are certain discussions and commentaries by Imam Malik himself. And this book was explained by many scholars. And from the most comprehensive and the best of the explanations regarding the texts and the understanding of the texts of the narrations in Imam Malik is that written or explained by an Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr in his book At-Tamhid. At-Tamhid, and this book contains a lot of knowledge. At-Tamhid li Ibn Abd al-Barr, and At-Tamhid by Ibn Abd al-Barr is a commentary or explanation for Imam Malik's Muwatta. So make note of that. At-Tamhid. So in this hadith, which the author is cited from Imam Malik's Muwatta, Allahumma, O Allah, Ya Allah. Allahumma. The origin of Allahumma is Ya Allah. The Ya has then been is removed in order to begin with the title of Allah's name, Allah. And then a compensation for the removal of the Ya is in the meme, Allahumma. The meme indicates jam', gathering, as if the caller is gathering and collecting his heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concentrating. Now, لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. Don't make my grave an idol, become an idol that is worshipped. Why? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم invoked or made this invocation because those before took the graves of their prophets as places of worship and worshipped their righteous people. So the Prophet ﷺ invokes Allah not to make his grave a wathan, that is worshipped, an idol to be worshipped. Why? Because his call, all of his call is upon tawheed and fighting shirk. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, اشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. Allah's wrath is intensified. عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. Allah's wrath is immense against those peoples who took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. غَضَبُ اللَّهِ, Allah's wrath. This is a true attribute of Allah, affirmed to Him in the best way that fits His majesty. And it does not resemble the anger of the created, neither in reality nor in effect. Now, some people who resorted to this method of figurative interpretation, they interpreted the wrath of Allah to mean avenging, taking revenge against those who disobey Him. And some of them also misinterpreted to mean intending revenge from those or against those who disobeyed Allah. This, in fact, is distortion of the texts away from what is, away from their realities. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not say in this hadith, Allah avenged. No, he said Allah's wrath intensified. He didn't say Allah revenged or avenged against those people, but he said Allah's wrath is immense. And the Prophet ﷺ knows how he expresses what he says, and he knows the difference between wrath and intiqam, avenging. And the Prophet ﷺ is the one who is keen, the best in terms of advising his ummah. Intiqam. Aina. So therefore, the Prophet ﷺ would not use words while intending something else in meaning. If he would do something like this, he will be deceiving. And far removed is he from something of this nature. So therefore, wrath is not, yani al-ghadab, wrath is not intiqam, is not avenging. And it's not also the intent to avenge. So wrath, al-ghadab, is a real attribute of Allah that fits His majesty and does not resemble the anger of the created, neither in reality nor in the consequence. There are differences between wrath and between the wrath of the Creator, Allah, and the anger of the created. Like, for example, the anger of the created, in reality, it is the burning of blood, the heart's blood, boiling of the heart's blood. And it's a call which Satan throws in the heart of the children of Adam to agitate them. This is with respect to the created. And with respect to the Creator, the wrath of the Creator is an attribute. Does not resemble that of the created. Because Allah stated in Surah Ash-Shura 42:11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearer, all-seer, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second difference, the anger of the human lead to undesirable consequences, regretful. He may kill the one, you know, whom he is angry at or with. Also, he may divorce his wife during stage of anger, or he may break things around him in a stage of anger, and the like. However, the wrath of Allah, nothing of this nature is related to, because Allah is Hakim, all wise. So therefore, nothing except that which is perfect in its influence will take place in relation to His wrath. So therefore, the wrath of Allah is unlike the anger of the created. And if we say as such, then in this way we don't attribute to Allah, or yes, qualify Him with that which resembles the created. Rather, we describe Him by an attribute which denotes strength and perfect authority. Because the wrath indicates the ability of the one to avenge and indicates full authority. So this, therefore, from this we know that this with respect to the Creator is a perfect attribute. And with respect to the created, it is a deficient attribute. There is a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43:55. قال الله تعالى فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. So when they angered us, we punished them. So here آسفونا, it means angered us. So we punished them. Intaqamna minhum. We avenged from them. And this indicates that the avenging is Allah is different from the anger. It is an effect dependent upon it or due to it. So therefore this indicates the futility of interpreting the wrath or the anger as avenging or by avenging. And one should know that anyone who distorts the texts related to Allah's attributes, distorts them to mean other than their realities and what Allah intended by them and His Messenger, then he will certainly fall in error. And therefore the duty upon us as Muslims is to submit to what came in the book and the sunnah concerning the attributes of Allah, affirming them without resemblance and glorifying them without denial. Is this so far clear concerning this attribute? Allah's anger is different from that of the created. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. They took the graves. Allah's wrath is intensified on those people who took the graves of their prophets as places of worship, either by building on them or by praying at them. So praying at the graves is what is of taking them as masajid, as places of worship. And also building on the graves is the same. Here is a question. Did Allah answer the invocation of His Prophet not to make His grave an idol worship, to become worship? Yeah. Or Allah's wisdom necessitated otherwise? The answer, as said by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah's mercy be upon him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted or answered the invocation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it isn't known that his grave was taken or became as an idol. Rather, it is protected by three walls, as we discussed in the previous lecture. So no one can reach it so as to make it a wathan, an idol, to be worshipped besides Allah. And it is not heard of in history that is it was taken as such. So Ibn al-Qayyim said in his poem, the famous poem he wrote, which is called An-Nuniyya, he said, فَأَجَابَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ دُعَاءَهُ وَأَحَاطَهُ بِثَلَاثَةِ الْجُدْرَانِ. Allah, the Lord of all that exists, answered his call and surrounded it, meaning his grave, by three walls. Those walls were built around the grave. Yes, indeed, there are people who exaggerate regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they didn't reach the level to make his grave an idol. They may, however, worship the messenger, even though they may be in a remote place. Is that clear? Is that clear? There are those who worship the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in far places. Yes. So, if there is someone who directs his call at the grave, then in this case, he has taken it as an idol. However, the grave itself did not become an idol. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
I said that If someone stands or directs himself towards the Prophet ﷺ, invoking him at his grave, then in this case he had taken him as what? As an idol. But the grave itself is not taken as an idol. You understand? You understand the difference? طيب. Then the author, rahimahullah, cited another narration reported by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari with his chain from Sufyan on the authority, he said, حدثana, he said, عن Mansur, narrated to us, also from Mujahid, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the meaning of the verse, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى in Surah Al-Najm 72, verse 19, قَالَ كَانَ يَلُتُّ لَهُمُ السُّوَيْقِ فَمَاتْ فَعَكَفُوا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ وكذا قال أبو الجوزاء عن ابن عباس كان يلت السويق للحاج. سورة النجم 53. Sorry, I thought it's I gave you the jinn. Have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, two idols of the pagan Arabs? No. Lat used to serve the pilgrims by preparing a suwayt, which is fine flour of barley or wheat mixed with water and ghee for them, for the pilgrims. After his death, the people began to stay and confine at his grave for the purpose of reward. This is the report from Ibn Jarir. Ibn Jarir, who is Ibn Jarir al-Tabari? He is Muhammad bin Jarir, son of Yazid al-Tabari, the famous Imam in Tafsir, who died in 310 after Hijrah. And his Tafsir is the origin of Tafsir by way of reports. And it is the reference for all the Mufassireen who take the tafsir through the reports. And it's not free from weak reports. And it is that he may have intended to compile what was related from the Salaf, the predecessors, regarding the reports of tafsir of the Quran, and to leave the reader the decision concerning their authenticity or weakness by following the chain of narrators which he detailed. And this is a good way from one side, from one angle, but it's not good from another side or another angle. It is good that it really compiles the reports so that they are not lost. And it also could be that some of these reports, although weak, they may be supporting of each other. On the other hand, it is not a good way. Why? Because the one who is not strong in knowledge may mix up things, the good and the weak, and take by this and that. However, the one who knows the chain of narrations and checks the men of the narrators, the men narrating the chains, and their conditions, and what the scholars had said regarding them, then in this case he will benefit from these narrations. Also, he added to his tafsir the interpretation by way of the language, linguistic. And that's why he preponderates and gives evidences from the texts and also from the language of the Arabs. This is in terms of his tafsir, the interpretation. Then also with respect to the fiqh, the understanding of the rulings. At-Tabari is mujtahid, is a alim, is a scholar who is mujtahid. However, he took a position which was different from the rest of the scholars regarding the consensus. He did not consider the difference of opinion between, of one or two scholars as something that will take away the consensus. Meaning, he would consider a consensus position even though there are one or two people differing. And this is what is criticized. He was criticized for this. Why? Because when it comes to consensus, ijma', it must be from all the people of knowledge who are reliable concerning the consensus. And the truth may be with this opposing individual. So that's why Imam Tabari, in this respect, rahimahullah, was criticized. And it's something strange that some of the latter ones warned the students regarding his tafsir, because they claimed that it contains a lot of Israelites' reportings. And they refer people and tell them, you hold to the tafsir of Al-Kashaf by Az-Zamakhshari and the like. These people are wrong in this judgment because of their ignorance concerning the merit of tafsir by way of reporting from the Salaf. And due to their false pride concerning their opinions, they said these things. Now, so the point to say is that, therefore, there are a lot of benefits in the tafsir of Ibn Jarir, as explained earlier. Now to the narration. Sufyan, what's apparent that this refers to Sufyan al-Thawri in the narration, and then to Mujahid. Mujahid is, his name is Mujahid bin Jabr al-Makki, and he is Imam of Tafsir, from the successors to the companions. It is reported that he said, I presented the Mus'haf, the copy of the Quran, to Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, from the opening chapter to the end. فَمَا تَجَاوَزْتُ آيَةً إِلَّا وَقَفْتُ عِنْدَهَا أَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ تَفْسِيرِهَا. I didn't pass by a single verse except that I stopped at it and asked Ibn Abbas concerning its meaning, interpretation. So, and Mujahid, therefore Mujahid now relates concerning the meaning of this verse in Surah An-Najm 53:19. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. This is an أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ. Have you then considered? This is an exclamation of belittling to the mushriks, to the pagans, those who worship the Lat and worship the Izzah. You see, in this surah, in this chapter, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of ascension to the seventh heaven, ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he encountered from the magnificent signs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to that in the Quran, saying, لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He had seen from the most magnificent of Allah's signs. Then he said, look at this. In comparison, look at this. Have you then considered these idols you worship? What is the... You compare these great and magnificent signs which the Prophet had seen to your idols. So Mujahid mentioned that this refers that Al-Lat, he used to, كان يلت لهم. He used to serve the pilgrims by preparing a suwayq, which is this mixture of barley and wheat with water and ghee, to serve the pilgrims. So they said, one opinion, that al-lat is derived from this, min latta yaluttu. It's also mentioned that al-lat may be derived from al-ilah. So in origin, it refers to, according to Mujahid, to this man who used to prepare this mixture of wheat and barley and ghee to the pilgrims. When he died, they exaggerated his status and they began to come to his grave. And then they ended up making him as Ilah, God. No. And then they ended up worshipping him. So therefore, this what? The exaggeration in the graves led to make them as idols worship besides Allah. And in this reporting, the author is warning against exaggeration relevant to the graves. That's why it is forbidden to erect upon them and write upon them. Why? Fearing of this grave consequence, that they become idols. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he sent a mission, he would order that whenever you find a raised high leveled grave, except that you level it with the rest. Why? Because he knew, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that with time, you know, people will say, had it not been for a particular characteristic of this grave, you know, it would have been leveled with the rest. Therefore, the occupant of this grave is special. Okay? So that's why the graves has to be leveled, and there should be no special or particular distinction of one over the other. Now, we'll stop here inshallah ta'ala, and then we continue the rest of the discussion on what remained from this chapter tomorrow. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا